of God is stirring your heart and you say, God, I'm a lover of money, but I don't want to be a lover of money. I'm going to honor you with my money now. I never go to church. I always have an excuse, but I want to go to your house, and there's nothing better than to be in your house. So when the Spirit of God stirs you and you say, I'm going to repent, I'm going to change, I'm going to put my drugs on the stage, I'm going to delete that app, I'm going to do whatever I have to do, I'm going to quit that job because I'm having an affair with that woman and my soul is worth more than that. It's that time when you make a righteous decision because the Holy Spirit is stirring your heart. That's a successful service. Hey friend, thank you for clicking on this video. I am Pastor Ruben, the lead pastor and founding pastor of this amazing church. I pray you hear a word from God that encourages your soul and gives you a new perspective on life. So I just got back from my sabbatical experience, and I encourage you to listen to last week's message if you didn't hear about it. But I want to share, if you missed it, there was this one part where when we traveled to Europe to follow the footsteps of Paul the Apostle, and when I was in Athens, we were about an hour outside of where all the tourists go. And we were in an Airbnb. It was an apartment. It looked like this. And we like being where the people are at. I just love being there. So we weren't where the traditional tourists were at. We were out where the people lived, the locals lived. And the streets looked like this. And driving, I rented a car. I should say this too. There were a bunch of things that happened to me over my sabbatical. There were weird stuff, including me having a little fender bender and scratch on two rental cars. Just for the record, I'm not a horrible driver. I know some of you have got that impression. I'm not a horrible driver, but it was an experience. And this particular experience, you know, I'll just tell you, driving in Athens makes driving in Orange County or New York City or Chicago, it's nothing compared to driving in Athens. I'll tell you, it's a different story out there. But finding a parking spot many times took 30 minutes or an hour to find a parking spot. It's just so populated. So a lot of times we would drive around looking for a parking spot, and eventually we would find one. But it was just, a lot of times it was just hard to find a parking spot in that situation. But this particular day we found a parking spot, and usually my son and I would drop off the girls and in front of the apartment, the Airbnb, and then we would find a parking spot. So we found a parking spot. And then I got a text the next morning that said, you need to move your car because it's going to get towed. And the next day I looked to see what happened, and I went to my car, and it looked like this now. And it was in the middle of a food market. And my car was the only car in this food market. And I was like between like cantaloupes and bananas or something like that. And I had like 4 inches on the front and 4 inches on the back. And I'm driving a stick. And I'm like, okay, I got to get out of this. And my whole goal was to not knock over like the cantaloupe, you know, not knock over. This was their livelihood. And I'm visiting. And I didn't mean to put myself in this situation. So I darted out of the apartment to go move the car. And I'm moving the car. And that's a whole other story, you know, finessing my way out of this thing. And I drive. And I'm driving around the block. And I can't find a parking spot. And I keep driving around the block. And I can't find a parking spot. And I'm driving for like 30 minutes easy. I eventually find a parking spot, and as soon as I get out of the car, I realize I don't have my cell phone with me. And I'm wondering, where in the world am I at? I'm in Athens. Everyone speaks Greek. And I can blend in a lot of the big cities. Put me in New York City or Chicago or Detroit or LA, and I can blend in because of my skin color. But in Athens, I kind of stand out just a little bit. So I'm like, I'm looking at the street names. All the street names are in Greek. They all looked at, how many of you know Greek? Raise your hand if you know Greek. See, that's what I'm saying. Most of us don't know Greek. And I had no idea where I was at. And I want to tell you how the Holy Spirit worked in this situation. I want to focus on the Holy Spirit. When I got out of the car, you know what the Holy Spirit told me? Pay attention to where the car is parked. Look around. And I looked, and all the signs are in Greek, but there was this one sign that had the word sushi right by it. So I was like, okay, sushi. I mean, that was it. That's all I knew. And I started walking around looking at, I mean, I can't read anything. I got no phone. I got no GPS. I got nothing. And I'm walking around And I'm like, where in the world am I? And I'm like, oh my good night. I just like, I want to curl up a little bit and just cry or something like that. Like, where am I? And the Holy Spirit was starting to work. And I knew my family was worried about me. Everyone except my daughter, Hannah, who wasn't worried. Everybody else was worried about me. I knew it. I had a feeling, and I'm walking around the street. I'm like, who do I ask? I can't ask anybody. The street signs don't mean anything to me. I don't even remember the address of the Airbnb. I am legit lost. And while I'm walking, and now I was lost for like an hour in Athens, walking around by myself. You know, you would just hear in the paper, some pastor in Athens got killed or murdered or died or I don't know, got ran over by a car or something. I don't know. But you would never found again. I don't know. But while I was walking around, you know what the Holy Spirit told me? Look at that woman holding that fruit bag. She had a plastic bag full of fruit. And the Holy Spirit told me, walk towards the fruit. Follow the fruit. I know it sounds simple and it sounds maybe even a little cheesy, but the Holy Spirit speaks to us in soft ways. And the Holy Spirit told me, follow the fruit. So I recognized as I was walking around lost, I was seeing less and less fruit. But then I thought, I know the car was parked kind of close. It was in the middle of that food market, and I got to follow the fruit. So I start following people, like whoever was holding a plastic bag of fruit. I'm like, okay, where did they come from? I'm going to go that direction. So I'm starting to walk that direction, and I'm following it and following it and following it. And then I see this guy, this Greek guy, and he's standing there selling his stuff. And I'm like, the Holy Spirit told me, he's the one who helped you. Get out of the car. Get out of that parking spot. And I'm looking at him, and I'm like, I think that's him. And then I look back. I'm like, okay, I know he helped me. I was parked. I remember I was like a block away from him. So I took a few steps, and I looked down the street. And down the street, I saw a palm branch out of a balcony. The night before, when Josiah and I parked the car, Josiah and I were walking by ourselves close to midnight right there in Athens, and he says, hey, Dad, do you know how to find our apartment? It's that palm branch sticking out of the balcony. The night before, the Holy Spirit prompted my son to tell me, you know how to find the apartment? It's the palm branch. Oh, you don't get it. You don't get it. You don't get it. This is the way God works. He's moving and changing and he's working and you don't even realize it. You don't even realize it, how God is stirring and he's preparing you for tomorrow and you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know. That whole time, the Lord just told me, it's easy to get lost. You hear that? Some of you need to hear that. It's easy to get lost. It's easy to drift away from God. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you used to walk with God, or you grew up in church, or you don't have any faith anymore, or maybe you would say, it's been a long time since you have felt God, or a long time since you've heard a word from God. You know what I'm talking about? It's easy to get lost. During this whole sabbatical, I kept saying, Lord, I need you to give me a word. And he was so faithful. He was giving me a word. I was reading the Bible. I was praying. I was fasting. And he was so faithful. But I was looking for a word for me, for a word for Thorn Creek Church, for a word that would take us into the future. When that whole experience happened and my whole sabbatical, and it was getting towards the end, and I was preparing actually for my trip to go and preach a revival. So I was preparing writing five sermons over 3 weeks, getting ready to preach in Hawaii during that revival. And I was preparing to do that, and I was praying. I said, like, God, give me a word, give me a word, give me a word. God is so good. I think sometimes... No, Lord, help me say this the right way. Holy Spirit, help me. It pleases God when we're desperate for him. It pleases God when we're hungry and thirsty. It pleases God when we seek him with all of our heart, all of our might, all of our strength. That pleases God. You need to know that. You need to know that because sometimes you need to spend time on your knees. Sometimes you need to cry out to God. And don't give up. Just because you don't hear something that first time, don't give up. God is pleased when you seek him earnestly. And I was going through that, and I was like, okay, God, what's the word? And I hadn't heard that big word yet. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking for that big word. And I was getting ready, and it was literally, I had like a week left here in Colorado before we were going to be, you know, traveling, and I'm going to go preach, and I'm going to stand on a stage and share the word of God. And I'm saying, God, give me a word right now. And I'm downstairs in my basement. I'm working out, and I'm listening to this sermon by a guy named T.D. Jakes. I'm listening to this sermon, and as I'm listening to this sermon, there's one word that he says, and here's the word. I want to share it with you. Here it is. You're a fool without the Holy Spirit. I heard that, and I know it may not mean anything to you, but it meant something to me. I stopped working out. I got on my knees, and I started crying. And I put my head between my legs, and I just started crying and weeping because I sensed the Lord. It's like the Holy Spirit just overshadowed me, and all of a sudden it's like, this is a word from the Lord. This is a word from God. That's what happens when God gives you a word. Sometimes it's really simple, but it means something to you. And for me, the Lord just showed me, you're a fool without the Holy Spirit. He's telling me, Reuben, you need the Holy Spirit for the future that I have for you. The church needs the Holy Spirit for the future that I have for it. The people of Thorn Creek Church need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to go forward. And God knows what's happening in the future. And I thought a lot about this idea of you're a fool. And I thought, I don't want to be called a fool. Nobody wants to be called a fool, right? That's a hard word. That means I lack common sense. That means I'm naive. That means I believe anything. And I thought a little bit about that. And I thought about, what does that mean? You're a fool without the Holy Spirit. And the Lord told me, when you don't have the Holy Spirit, you rely on your own strength. When you don't have the Holy Spirit, you rely on your own perspective. You rely on what you can see. You rely on your own intelligence. You rely on your own knowledge. You rely on your own resources. And then you know what the next step is? You start trying to control your circumstances. You start trying to control everyone around you. Here's the truth. You can't even control your own thoughts or your own words. Why are you trying to control other people? You can't do that. And the Holy Spirit just spoke to me and said, Reuben, the life I have for you involves a greater filling of the Holy Spirit, and Thorn Creek Church needs more of the Holy Spirit. That's what you need. Turn to the person next to you and just tell them, listen up. Can you do that and help me out a little bit? I was real at the 9 o'clock service. At the 9 o'clock service, I said, you guys need some help. You're the quietest service out of all three. And they responded, you guys are one of the strongest. Keep it strong, all right, guys? Keep it strong. Somebody say amen. Somebody say keep preaching. I appreciate you. One person said keep preaching. Somebody say keep preaching. Who's the Holy Spirit? John chapter 7. Let's start there. Who's the Holy Spirit? Jesus said, anyone who believes in me may come and drink. It's so cool how there's an open invite with Jesus. It's an open invite. The Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Then he says, for the scriptures declare, and let's read this sentence out loud, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. Jesus says, hey, I'm available for anyone. Doesn't matter where you come from, what color of skin, what language, neighborhood, subdivision. Jesus says, hey, I want you to know life and know life abundantly. And he says, he gives this invitation for you to know him. And the consequence of knowing him is knowing his presence. But Jesus says, he's always trying to help us understand in a real organic, concrete way. And he says, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. Other versions say, from within you. Other versions, the old King James version says, from your belly. rivers of living water will flow. You know what that means? There's something alive inside of you. There's something coming inside of you, and it's birthing every single day. It's this natural reservoir of rivers coming in. It's just churning all the time, and it's because of who's living inside of you. It's because of your relationship with Jesus, and you have this life now, this new life, and it's organic, and it's not dependent on your circumstances. It's not dependent on where you're at or how much money's in your account. It's not dependent on any, it's not dependent on your health. It's not dependent on any of that. Rivers of living water. In verse 39, Jesus says a little secret. He says, when he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit. That's the ultimate goal. Rivers of living water will flow from within you. This is what makes Christianity different from any other religion. Other religions, whether it's Buddha or Confucius or any other religion, there's this distance between you and that God. Christianity is about God putting his Holy Spirit inside of you. God wants you to know his Spirit, his Holy Spirit inside of you. What does Spirit mean? Let's unpack it. The Greek word for Spirit is pneuma. Say pneuma with me. It means this: a current of air, a breath, a breeze. I thought about when this man named Nicodemus went to talk to Jesus at night. Didn't go during the day. That's another sermon. Went at night. And he said, hey, Jesus, I want to understand what you're saying. And Jesus tells him, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. And he says, what do you mean born again? I can't be born again. And Jesus says, you've got to be born of water and the Spirit. In other words, there's a spiritual birth that needs to happen inside of you. And then Jesus says the Spirit is like the wind. You don't know where it starts or where it ends. It's mysterious. Now, as I was working on this message yesterday, I woke up at 1:30 in the morning and Grace was sleeping right by me, and the Lord put it on my heart to look at the fruits of the Spirit. So I'm lying in bed at 1:30 in the morning with my phone on, reading Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, reading the fruits of the Spirit. And then I put the phone back on my little table, and the Lord spoke to me and said, I'm not done. So I got out of bed, and I went down, and I spent 2 hours sitting on my couch with my laptop as the Lord was downloading a message and speaking to me. That doesn't happen often, but that told me, this is a special weekend. God wants people to know about his Holy Spirit, and people need to hear this message. But it was during that night, glory to God, it was during that night the Lord showed me this message. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Remember, the Holy Spirit is a current of air, a breath, or a breeze. Scripture says, then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. Wow. Job, the oldest book in the Bible, he got it. Job said this, for the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. He has an understanding of his existence. Chapter 34, he says, if God were to take back his spirit and withdraw his breath, all life would cease and humanity would turn again to dust. It's the Spirit of the living God that has made you. The Spirit of the living God has created you, man and woman. The Spirit of the living God. And God has given you breath, and it's a gift. Every day is a gift from the Lord. The Stoics, who were an ancient school of philosophy that started in 300 BC, actually started in Greece, they defined pneuma like this: the vital spirit, soul, or creative force of a person. That's how they defined pneuma. And I looked at this, and when I read this, a creative force of a person, you know what I thought about? Star Wars. You know what I mean? Anybody like Star Wars? I like Star Wars. And I remember like Yoda trying to teach Luke about the Force, and it's everywhere. And you got to pay attention. I remember that little thing, you know, kept shooting him, and he was, you know, they're trying to, you know, all that stuff. And I remember Obi-Wan Kenobi doing all that. And then I thought, well, maybe that's a good illustration for the people this weekend about the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit is like the Force in Star Wars. And you know what the Holy Spirit said? No way. And here's why. You cannot manipulate the Holy Spirit. You don't get to control the Holy Spirit. You don't get to tell the Holy Spirit how he works, when he works, what he does. The Holy Spirit does whatever he wants to do. Glory to God. And you're invited to participate in it. You're invited to participate in it. What's the Holy Spirit as part of the Trinity? The Trinity is this: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There's one God who eternally exists as three distinct persons: God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Each person is fully God, all equally God. Each person shares in the divine nature. Each person is distinct and has distinct roles and distinct functions, but all of them work in harmony to accomplish God's divine purpose. That is the Trinity. That's the way the Holy Spirit works. And he's symbolized like this. He's symbolized in the Bible as breath or wind or fire, hence the name of our series, Fire, water, oil, light, and a dove. That's how the Holy Spirit is presented. In the Old Testament, this is life before Jesus came into the world. Genesis chapter 1 talks about the Holy Spirit early on. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And here it comes, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Second verse in the Bible. That tells us the Holy Spirit participated in creation. The Holy Spirit was there. And the first time you see someone being filled, a human being filled with the Holy Spirit, is in Exodus chapter 31. It's a guy named Bezalel. Scripture says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Look, I have specifically chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, grandson of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. I have filled him with the Spirit of God, giving him great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts.'" Bezalel experienced the filling of God's Holy Spirit. And out of all people in the Bible, the first one to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it was not a pastor, not a priest, not a Levite, not a prophet. It was a craftsman. He's like, "Oh, you're going to swing. You're really good at swinging a hammer. For those of you who are craftsmen, those of you who are tradesmen, you can praise the Lord. God chose a craftsman first to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and his job was to build the temple." Hallelujah. God shows no favoritism. He's just different. Incidentally, what does that say about God's view of the church? It's the hope of the world. Another time the Holy Spirit came down is in Judges chapter 6. There's this man named Gideon. When God first called Gideon, he said, "Mighty warrior." And Gideon said, "You have the wrong address. I'm not that dude." And God said, No, you are that guy. And then Gideon says, "I'm the weakest of the weakest of the weakest. Don't you talk to me. I don't have any gifts. I can't do what other people are doing. I can't sing. I can't speak. I don't even like people. What are you doing? Go somewhere else." And God says, "Mighty warrior." And here it comes. Verse 34, "Then the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon with power. He blew a ram's horn as a call to arms, and the men of the clan of Abiezer came to him." You know why they came to him? Because he was anointed with the Spirit of God. You know what? I want to say it like this. Don't try to do things without the Spirit of God. It's going to be a different result. Don't try to do things without the Spirit of God. Gideon blows a horn, but he's anointed by the Spirit of God. And because he does that, all of a sudden people come to him. Another guy named Samson. Samson is known as a man of strength. He got chipped up by this woman. But at one point, Judges chapter 6, 14, verse 6 says, "At that moment, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon Samson," upon him, "and he ripped the lion's jaws apart with his bare hands." Isn't that cool? I mean, like, I want to go to the Denver Zoo and just try this out. You know what I'm saying? I think every one of us, I know every man is like, I want that spirit, that super strength. I want that. And it's because the Holy Spirit fell on him and he gained strength that he didn't have. He gained new strength that he didn't have. Another guy named Saul, he's the first king of Israel. Says, when Saul and his servant arrived at Gibeah, they saw a group of prophets coming towards them. Then the Spirit of God came powerfully upon Saul, and he, too, began to prophesy. Wow. Let me say it like this. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will say things that you never thought you could say. God will use you in ways you never dreamed. God will use you to share your faith with others. God will use your words to build up the kingdom of heaven and to minister to souls. That's what God does. And of course, King David, known as the man after God's own heart, 2 Samuel chapter 23 says, the Spirit of the Lord speaks through me. That's what David said. His words are upon my tongue. Every time I preach, I read Isaiah chapter 61, and I read the first three verses. It's about the anointing of the Lord. And I actually pray, and I kiss the Bible there in Isaiah 61, and my prayer is that my words are anointed. Anointed by the Spirit of the Lord. Anointed with oil. A.W. Tozer said, when we have the Holy Spirit, we have all that is needed to be all that God desires us to be. You need the Holy Spirit to live the life God is calling you to. You need the Holy Spirit to live a righteous life. You need the Holy Spirit for new strength. You need the Holy Spirit. 800 years before Jesus was born, there's a famous prophecy about the Holy Spirit in Joel chapter 2. The prophet Joel said this, then after doing all those things, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on servants, men and women alike. So throughout the Old Testament, when you look at it, the Holy Spirit just kind of came in and then left. You see that throughout the whole Old Testament, before Jesus came into the world. And the prophet Joel says, it's not going to be like that all the time. One day, the Holy Spirit is going to come down and every person, man and woman, rich and poor, is going to be able to experience the Holy Spirit living inside of them. Every person is going to see that. Every person. In the New Testament, here comes the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 1 says, this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Other versions say the Holy Spirit overshadowed her, and all of a sudden she became pregnant. Luke chapter 3, when Jesus was getting baptized, scripture says, and the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, you're my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy. Jesus starts talking about the Holy Spirit, even though the Holy Spirit hadn't come yet. He starts in chapter John 14. He says this, if you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. That word advocate, it's a capital A because it refers to deity. It's referring to the Holy Spirit, who will never leave you. Glory to God. All of those who've experienced abandonment in life, thank you, Jesus. He is the Holy Spirit who will lead into all what? Truth. You know what that means? Not everything is true. The Holy Spirit is required to lead us into truth. Let me say it differently. Not everything you think is true. Your feelings are not always true. Your moods are not always true. There is a truth from heaven, and the Spirit of truth reveals it to us, who leads us into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. You know what that also means? Some people don't recognize the Holy Spirit in their life. The Holy Spirit could be working all around them and they don't see it. The Holy Spirit could be working right in a church service and they're not feeling it. God could be doing something right in front of you, but you don't see it because of your stubborn heart, because of pride, because of arrogance, and you don't recognize what God is doing right in front of you. God wants to tear down some walls today. He wants you to humble yourself and seek his face and turn from your wicked ways, turn from your evil thoughts, and turn to him. I feel like preaching a little bit right now. I feel like I'm getting in a swimming pool from the sabbatical, and I'm like in 4 feet of water, but I know I need to get to like the 10-foot section, and I'm moving there slowly, inch by inch, little by little. I might be 4 feet and 1 inch right now. I don't know, something like that. Where am I at? He's the Holy Spirit. The world cannot receive him because he isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be where? There it is again. Jesus is telling the disciples, here's the game plan. Here's the future. Here's the future. Eventually, the Holy Spirit is going to live inside of you. Inside of you. You are a living, holy temple. Your body does not belong to you. It belongs to God. God created you, and you are intended to be a vessel for the Holy Spirit to live inside of you. So honor God with your bodies. Honor God with your bodies, because your bodies belong to him. Hear this. The Holy Spirit is the source of your inner peace and strength. Sometimes we look to social media to try to make ourselves feel better. Don't do that. You look for TED Talks or podcasts or videos or movies or warm, fuzzy movies. I don't know, whatever it is. The Holy Spirit is able to give you an inner peace and an inner strength. It's not your woman. It's not your man. It's not some speaker. The Holy Spirit is able to give you an inner peace and an inner strength so that when you're going through hard times, you can be at peace. When you're going through hard times, you can say, I don't know why this is happening to me, but I'm going to hold on to my faith. I'm going to hold on to my faith. This is going to be part of my story, and I'm going to trust God, because in the future, I'm going to look back, and I'm going to remember God's faithfulness through that. I'm not going to let go of my faith during this hard time. I'm not going to do that. No way. No way. Truth is, some of you can get tripped up so easily. You hear one discouraging word and you're ready to walk away. One red light. Others of you are becoming oak trees. And your relationship with God is not dependent on anyone else except fellowship with his Holy Spirit. And you're more concerned about staying in step with his Spirit. John chapter 16, Jesus says, it's best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the advocate, there's the Holy Spirit, won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And here's the job description of the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he will convict. Say convict with me, convict. The world of its sin. And again, remember, he's the Spirit of truth. He'll convict the world of sin. You know, without the Holy Spirit, we determine what's right through our own eyes. The last verse in the book of Judges says, in those days, they did what was right in their own eyes. That's not truth. He'll convict the world of sin and God's righteousness and the coming judgment. This is how the Holy Spirit works. First of all, the Holy Spirit likely stirred you and said, you got to go to that church between Ace Hardware and that liquor store. You need to go to that church today because there's a word for you. You need to get your butt out of bed. You need to go to church. You need to keep going to church. I know you don't feel like going to church, but you need to go to church. I have a word for you. And you're here at church and you brush your teeth and you put on deodorant and put on your drawers and you're here. Glory to God. Here's how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit will stir your heart and he'll tell you, don't you look at that. Don't you go there. Don't get in that relationship. Don't take that job. Don't do it. The Holy Spirit reveals things to you that you cannot see. And at that moment, you have a decision to make. Are you going to listen to the Holy Spirit? Or are you going to rely on your own perspective? What are you going to do? Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you knew it was the wrong relationship, you knew it was the wrong job, you knew it was the wrong road, you knew you shouldn't be doing that, but you did it anyway, and then you're in trouble, and then you know what the next thing you is? God, I need you to help me. And God is so loving and gracious, he helps. Thank you, Jesus. That's right. I'm grateful that God's love and faith and patience is better than mine. You know, when I was in Colorado Springs and I was getting my degree and going to Bible college, getting my theology degree, I remember I was looking for a job, but I didn't want just any job. I wanted a job where I could work very few hours and make a lot of money. Anybody want that kind of job? It's so weird. We look for jobs and we're like, do I have to come in? But that's another message. But anyway, so I was looking for a job and I found one. I was in sales way back when. And I found this company and it had few hours, at the right hours, and it had a lot of money. And I'm like, well, I'm going to do that. I feel like this is what God wants. No, it wasn't God. It was all me. It was just greed. And the Lord told me, don't you do it, Reuben. You don't know. I see what's going on here, and this is not a place for you. You know what, guys? I did it anyway. I ignored the voice of the Holy Spirit. It was the worst 4 months of my life. And I feel like the Lord was just sitting back like, I told you so. How's it feel? You got to trust the Holy Spirit. Spiritual growth is when you are obedient to the Spirit of the Lord. Even though you don't understand why. Even though you don't see everything that God is, you just say, I'm going to trust the Spirit of the Lord. Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. There it is again. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. You know, the wisest people on the planet are the people who are possessed by the Spirit of God. That's who you should be seeking advice from. People who are full of the Spirit of God, because they're not speaking based on their own wisdom or their own intellect. The Holy Spirit is working in them. It's living water, rivers of living water working inside of them, and they're sharing with you what God is telling them. That's who you want to listen to. That's who you want to listen to. I'm going to ask you a question, and this is for those of you who call yourself a Christian. Those of you who've been in the church, how many of you have been in church for like your whole life and you've got family and been in church? God bless you. There's some hands. I want to talk to those of you who call yourself a Christian. Do people around you know the Holy Spirit lives in you? How do they know? How do they know? In Genesis chapter 41, you read about this pagan king named Pharaoh. And there's this famous prince of Egypt named Joseph. Pharaoh had some crazy dreams, and Joseph interpreted them. But I love what Pharaoh, this pagan king, said about Joseph. He said, so Pharaoh asked his officials, can we find anyone else like this man, so obviously filled with the Spirit of God? Isn't that a cool compliment? From a guy who doesn't go to church, who worships many gods. He's like, I don't know about this God of Abraham, but when I look at Joseph, he is filled with the Spirit of God. I see his wisdom. He is filled with the Spirit of God. Here's how you know. Here's how you know if someone's full of the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 says it like this. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Let's read it out loud. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Someone who is full of the Holy Spirit, here's the fruit. They love differently. They don't hold grudges. They don't bear grudges. They're not resentful. They're not unforgiving. There's a love inside of them that is different from everyone else. Someone who is full of the Holy Spirit loves like God loves, forgives like God forgives. And somebody else who's full of the Holy Spirit, you know what they have inside of them? They have a joy unspeakable for all of you church people. they have a joy inside of them that's not a fake joy. It's not a plastic joy. It's a sustainable joy. It doesn't matter what their circumstances are like, whether they get laid off or they have a job, if they get no check or they get a bonus. It doesn't matter. They have a joy unspeakable that's just inside of them because they know they're passing through this world and their life is in the hands of God and they're not worried about anything. They just have a joy because their sins are forgiven and they're grateful for the forgiveness of God every single day. Every day, they have a peace. They don't overthink a lot. They're not anxious. They're not full of anxiety. They don't worry that long. They have a peace that surpasses all understanding. They have a peace, regardless of the situation. They have a peace, and you see that peace in them. And you're thinking to yourself, what in the world is going to rattle them? And here's what you don't know. The Holy Spirit is living inside of them, and they sense His Holy Spirit. So they're not worried about anything. They just are trusting God with everything. They have a patience. It's really cool. When I see people, when I see homes turn to Jesus, especially if it's, let's say, the man. It's so cool. And something happens in their home. And in the past, that man would blow up. He would be so angry, throw his fist through a door or whatever it is, or throw something at whatever. But all of a sudden, when Jesus gets a hold of that heart, and when the Holy Spirit starts to transform that heart and renew that mind, the first thing the family notices is, why aren't you blowing up? You're so patient. What is going on inside of you? You're different. It's the Holy Spirit working inside, and you have a patience inside that's different. Oh, Lord, help me. Kindness. Someone who's full of the Holy Spirit has a kindness about them. They're just kind. And it's not because kindness is in. It's not because I live in Boulder. It's because the Holy Spirit is inside of me. And it's not about me. I'm just going to show kindness because God has been kind in my life. Goodness. Because God's a good God. It's faithfulness. Oh, this is so big. They do what they say they're going to do. Hello. There's no such thing as a no-call, no-show with these people. There's no such thing as a no-call, no-show with these people. Their word is their bond. They say they're going to do it, and they're going to do it. And they're faithful, even during the hard times. You know who I love? I love everybody in this church. But I'm especially grateful for all those people who've been through hard times with me in the life of Thorn Creek Church over the 22 years. I'm especially grateful for those people who said, I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to stay with you. Faithful people. They're gentle. They're just gentle. They're just gentle. And the last one is this. People who are full of the Holy Spirit, they have self-control. You know what self-control is? I'm going to swipe. I'm not going to look at that. I can turn away. People with self-control control the words that come out of their mouth. Check this out. People with self-control are mindful of the tone of their voice. Your tone of your voice says a lot of things. People who have self-control know when they're thinking thoughts that are evil. They're thinking thoughts that are lustful. They're thinking thoughts that are hateful. They're thinking thoughts, and they have the self-control to stop thinking those thoughts and turn around and say, I'm going to fill my mind with something else. It's not safe for me to continue down this dark road. It's not safe for me to think like that. They have self-control. They're able to turn away and say, I'm not going to do that. This is what someone who is full of the Holy Spirit looks like. Hear this. When you're full of God's Holy Spirit, your desires, thinking, and priorities change. It's no longer about you, your opinions, or your time. You completely surrender to the agenda of God. That's what it means. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, it's not about you anymore. It's about the will of God. It's about the heart of God. It's about whatever pleases God. And you're constantly surrendering to God. And His voice is the loudest in your life. Here comes the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 2. Jesus went to the cross for our sins. Thank you, Lord. He went to the grave. 3 days later, He rose from the grave. Acts chapter 2 says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then, what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. Here it is. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Here's the Holy Spirit. Now, Joel's 800-year-old prophecy comes to life in Acts chapter 2. Everyone who was there was full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came on every person. And it was so obvious to everybody else. Everyone around them, they thought they were drunk. And they asked him, Archie, what are you? These guys must be drunk. They're speaking in other languages. And I love Peter's response. No, we're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning, which I think is a really interesting answer. In his sermon, he says, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God. You know what that word repent means? That means a change of mind. This is what I used to chase after. This is what I used to think. I was a victim. I would blame other people all the time. I would blame others. I knew it was evil. I knew it wasn't pleasing to God, and I just kept doing it. I wouldn't let go. But now God is speaking to me, and I want God more. I'm done with the sewer water. I want the living water. So I'm going to repent. I'm going to change my mind, and I'm going to turn to Him and turn to God. That's what it means to repent. It's a turning to God. Repent of your sins, turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And that next sentence, what's the first word? Then. Say then with me, then. One more time, then. So, repent of your sins, turn to God, be baptized, then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There it is. This is a crazy story because 3,000 people were added to the church that day. And let me just tell you, I don't believe it's because Simon Peter was some eloquent preacher. I think he was, but I think he was pretty raw. He was, you know, he had foot and mouth disease all the time. And I believe it was the Holy Spirit working through him. But the Holy Spirit came down on them. 3,000 people are added. And I think about this. When the Holy Spirit invades a space, when the Holy Spirit takes over you, when the Holy Spirit fills you and all of a sudden directs your thoughts and desires and your will, and you allow the Holy Spirit to work in you, and you start letting go of the things that God wants you to let go of, and you start turning hard to Him, it creates chaos. Sin creates chaos as well. Sin makes things messy, makes things complicated. You got to keep secrets. You got to go incognito. You got to do all kinds of stuff. You got to hide this from this person, hide this. That sin creates confusion and chaos. But the Holy Spirit also creates chaos, but it's a righteous chaos. I can only imagine the disciples like, we got 3,000 people. How in the world are we going to manage this? What does this mean? The church needs the Holy Spirit. Francis Chan said this, if I were Satan and my ultimate goal was to thwart God's kingdom and purposes, one of the main strategies would be get churchgoers to ignore the Holy Spirit. See, the devil wants you to rely on yourself. The devil wants you to rely on your own strength. I've tried it before, guys. It's really hard. I've tried living a righteous life without the strength of the Holy Spirit. And let me just tell you, it is frustrating and discouraging because you learn, I don't have it in my tank to live like this. I want to. My intentions, my desires are here, but I'm not doing it. And incidentally, that is one of the lies of the devil. He says your intentions are good enough even though you're not living a righteous life. And God's going to judge you by your intentions. God knows your heart, so you don't have to live a holy life. That is a lie from the devil, straight from hell. God has provided his Holy Spirit so that you could have victory. And the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And God will sanctify your heart. He will give you new strength and a new peace. God doesn't want you to limp through life. It's not about your strength. It's about the power of the Holy Spirit living in you and through you as you surrender to him. A lot of times, you know, when you evaluate a church service, most people evaluate a church service like this. Well, the service was good if it ends in 59 minutes. The service is good if that preacher was charismatic. You know what, guys? A preacher can Google and be charismatic and fake everyone, but a powerful preacher is one who is anointed by the Holy Spirit. That's a different kind of preaching. One who's faithful 24/7 when nobody's looking. The worship service was good as long as it wasn't too loud. As long as they have a program for my kids. As long as I feel like I'm getting fed. As long as I learn something new, then it was a good service. We think like that. It's a consumer mentality. It's about you. And Christians, you can have a consumer mentality. You could be sitting there thinking, I know the story, I've heard the story, it's not for me, it's for somebody else. And you develop a consumer mentality where if I'm offended, I'm walking. Let me give you another way to look at a really good church service, because I look at Acts chapter 2. Here's another way. Did you sense the Holy Spirit in the service? Was the Holy Spirit moving? Did you sense a stirring inside of you? Was your heart quickened? Was your spirit quickened during that service? Did you hear a word from the Holy Spirit? Oh, how do we know this? You get to this place in the service where the Holy Spirit arouses you so much. And I'm talking to you who sit and watch. I'm talking to you who watch and you never get off your backside. I'm talking to you who never raise your hands, but you're so compelled. The Holy Spirit gets a hold of you and you're like, I don't care what people think. I gotta raise my hands because I owe everything to him. And I'm going to raise my hands. And in the middle of the sermon, like, I don't care anymore. I got to get to my feet because God is so good. And I agree with what the preacher is saying. And there's nothing like his word. I agree that there's nothing like the living God. I owe him everything. It's when the Spirit of God stirs your heart and you humble yourself and everybody else is sitting, but you get on your knees and you say, I sense your spirit right now. I need you. It's when the Spirit of God is stirring your heart and you say, God, I'm a lover of money, but I don't want to be a lover of money. I'm going to honor you with my money now. I never go to church. I always have an excuse, but I want to go to your house and there's nothing better than to be in your house. So when the Spirit of God stirs you and you say, I'm going to repent. I'm going to change. I'm going to put my drugs on the stage. I'm going to delete that app. I'm going to do whatever I have to do. I'm going to quit that job because I'm having an affair with that woman and my soul is worth more than that. It's that time when you make a righteous decision because the Holy Spirit is stirring your heart. That's a successful service. When you respond to the Spirit of God and you don't care what other people think. You don't care. Check this out. Can you get hold this? Hold it up. Look at it. May the Spirit of God stir you. here's an opportunity to serve God. We need guest relations people. Can you guys just smile? Let me see your teeth just for a second. All of them. You're qualified. There it is. Guest relations people are vital. And we're in desperate need of guest relations people. When I toured churches, the thriving churches had an army of guest relations people. You know why it's important to have good people at the door to say, hey, how's it going? Welcome to church. It's important for many reasons. First of all, you don't know what battles they're facing in life. You don't know what a miracle it is that they even came to church. Some of them, you don't know what dark thoughts they've had. You don't know the losses they've had. You don't know they're contemplating suicide. You don't know anything. But God knows it, and God stirred them to come to Thorn Creek Church, and we have a responsibility to love on every soul, because God is entrusting us with these souls. And here's a stat you might want to be aware of. Check it out. Here's a stat. Visitors make a decision about the church they visit within the first 7 minutes. Did you know that? That means, now we want to have guest relations people in the parking lot. When they pull up, and if there's no parking spot, they're already casting judgment on us. And they walk in the doors, they don't know anybody. There's two questions visitors ask, and I bet you asked this. One of them is this: can this church meet my needs? And that's a legit question. And you know what the other question is? Is there anybody else here like me? Those are the two questions they ask. And they're facing their own battles and their discouragement that they have to work through. And we get the honor to show them the love of Jesus Christ. And in that first 7 minutes, even before the preacher gets up to speak, they're already coming to conclusions about this kind of church. So in many ways, the guest relations people are some of the most influential people in the church. And let me say this, we need so many guest relations people. We need 85 extra guest relations people with what we want to do here. We're trying to get ready for what the Holy Spirit's doing here. 85, say 85 with me. 85 extra. So for those of you who are really skilled at hearing a need, and here's what you do. Or during the prayer at the end, you know who you are. May the Holy Spirit grip you. May the Holy Spirit arrest you. All you have to do is be available. You don't have to have it all together. Oh my word, guys, I'm up here on stage. Hello. You don't have to have it all together. So fill this out. How many do we need? Extra. Fill it out, put it in the giving box, or scan the QR code. We're trying to make a T-ball for you guys, making it as easy as possible. We're also doing baptisms on August 16 and 17. If you committed your life to Jesus, this is your next step. All you have to do is scan the QR code in the chair right in front of you. There's a QR code. I know you know where your phone's at. You can pull it out and you can scan it and let us know, and we'll baptize you and bring your friends. Bible says don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, what does it say? Guys, we are starting a new thing in this church. The future that God has for us requires a greater level of the Holy Spirit. The future God has for you requires you to be full of the Holy Spirit. There's a next level that we're talking about. Here's what I want to do. I did this in the last two services, and God just blessed it. So I want to challenge you right now. Has the Holy Spirit been stirring your heart during this time? You're in a good place. We all need the grace of God. You're in a good place. The person next to you needs the grace of God. The preacher needs the grace of God. You're in a good place. Let's turn to the Lord while we have breath. Let's turn to the Lord while we have breath. So I'm gonna, don't do it yet, but I'm gonna ask you to stand, and then I'm gonna ask you to come forward, just being full disclosure here. So here's the first opportunity. If you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's your first step. It's a relationship with God, and God sent his son, Jesus Christ, into this world so that your sins could be forgiven and you could know his grace and his mercy and his presence. in your life. So if you want to, that's the place to start. Maybe it's even a recommitment to Jesus Christ. Here's your opportunity. If you want to commit your life to Jesus Christ this morning, stand up really quickly. I want to pray for you. Stand up. We got one standing in the back. Praise the Lord. Stand up really quickly. You want to commit your life to Jesus Christ. Woo! Look how God's moving in this place. Look how God's moving in this place. Woo! Praise Jesus. You guys rock. Oh, look at the courage in the house. Look at the courage. Oh, stay standing in the back. Stay standing in the back. Stay standing in the back. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Stay standing, guys. I'm gonna pray for you. Here's the next one. All of you guys just tore down a wall today. I just want you guys to know that your life's gonna change because of this. God has your future. If you need a new filling of God's Holy Spirit, stand up really quickly. Stand up really quickly. You need a new filling. You want to get filled up with the Holy Spirit in your life. You want a new power, a new strength. You want His will for your life. Oh, guys. You guys are wrecking me. Come forward and let's pray together. Everybody come forward. Those of you who are standing, come forward and just stand and let's just come together. If you want to raise your hands or kneel down or whatever you want to do. If you're ready to receive Jesus and you stood up, would you just say this? Say, Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart right now. I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me for my sins, and I want to live for you. Teach me how to do that. I want to become a Christian this morning. Thank you for speaking to me. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love for me. Others of you, you want the Holy Spirit in your life, say this. Say, Holy Spirit, I need you. I can't do this without you, and today I realize that. So, Holy Spirit, as best as I can with my words, I ask you to fill me right now, Holy Spirit. Give me new desires. Give me new strength. Give me a new joy. Give me a new peace. Give me a new love. Give me a new faithfulness. May your goodness show. Give me a new self-control. Holy Spirit, change my heart, transform my heart, renew my mind. Holy Spirit, take over. Holy Spirit, direct me. Holy Spirit, lead me to all truth. And Holy Spirit, use me in the midst of my construction. Holy Spirit, use me. I surrender to you right now, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you for the way you finished this service, Lord. I worship you, God. You deserve everything. You're so good. Thank you, Lord. I know there's a party in heaven and there's transformation, and I recognize and acknowledge your Holy Spirit is in this house right now, and it's moving. Thank you. We praise you. You are so good, God. We praise you. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray all of this. Amen. Let's praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Hey, thank you so much for watching this message. I pray it encouraged your soul. Hey, you are an important part of this church. If you are encouraged by this ministry, we ask you to pray for us, and we also want to give you an opportunity to give. This church is supported by those faithful people who honor God with their giving, and you can do that by clicking the link below. Have a great day.